scripture. Everybody's so glad to be out of the house.
Let us pray together, shall we? Gracious Lord, here we are once again. We've come to worship you. We've come from our homes into a bracingly frigid winter day. We've come from warmth to cold and then back into the warmth. We've come to worship you, Lord. So touch us with your spirit. May all of us be very glad we've come to the house of the Lord to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. You stand.
home, but joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Once again, let us pray together. Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we turn our hearts and our minds to you as a church, as a congregation, and we lift ourselves in spirit to your throne of grace. We adore you. We praise your name. We thank you for your goodness, for your kindness, and for your grace. We thank you for letting us live for a time here in this magnificent creation of yours. We are grateful for our opportunities, for we know they come from you. We are grateful for the challenges which cause us to stress and have strain in heart, soul, and mind. But we also thank you for the wonderful occasions that opportunities and challenges give to us to witness to how you overcome everything through the power of your Spirit. Lord, we are grateful for who you are. Thank you for everything. But we confess, O Lord, that at times we fail to recognize who you are, and we try to take a godlike position on everything we do and everything we say. We make decisions, sometimes small ones, sometimes big ones, without ever consulting you, O Lord, without ever having prayer over the issues that we face. We are guilty of snap judgments. Then we are guilty of defending ourselves and blaming someone else for what we have failed to do. We confess these and other sins of ours as we approach your throne of grace with these our sins. Hear now also our secret sins and shortcomings as we lift them to you in a time of silent prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing our prayers and for the formula of salvation, which you teach in both testaments of the Bible, that if we repent of our sins, confessing as we repent, that you will indeed forgive us of our sinful nature and set us right before you through the love of Christ. In our prayers of intercession, we ask your special blessings upon the millions of people paralyzed by the gigantic blizzard that really has rocked the East Coast and those huge cities, paralyzing them and causing people all kinds and all manners of discomfiture as well as suffering. Please be with government authorities. Please be with people who rescue folks in trouble. And please be with the citizens of our great cities of the East, that they will indeed do their part during this crisis. We pray for ourselves and the cold snap that has affected all of us this past week and even now. Lord, we pray for people who are suffering, such as our former members who lost their daughter and stepdaughter in such a tragic, tragic wreck this week. This tears their hearts out and causes grief among the people of this dear congregation, Lord, who knew and worked with this family as well as with the deceased. Help us in our grief work so that through the tears and through the sense of pain and loss, we and they will sense your comforting spirit. Take them and us by our hands and lead us. Lead us back home to where we need to be, safe and sound, with your blessed presence in what we do. Dear Lord, we could not live, move, or have our being in any kind of fruitful, positive way without your blessed Spirit. So please help us. And in the meantime, please let us recognize where all of our gifts come from. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples and therefore us how to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Do we have children here today?
I'll just incorporate my children's address in my sermon. So let's stand as we sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." Our scripture for today is taken from two places of the New Testament. First of all, from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. And then from Luke's Gospel, Luke 4, 14 through 21. So let us hear the word of the Lord from St. Paul's letter, first letter, to the church at Corinth. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And then over to Luke. This passage follows our Lord's temptation in the wilderness by the devil. So now he comes back into civilization and he goes to Nazareth. From Luke 4, 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a certain purpose and symmetry of the lectionary which helps us focus on our persons as individuals and our person of the church and certainly the person of Christ. For example, the first Sunday of January, we celebrated worship with John Wesley's covenant service. Very important for people called Methodists to refocus our commitment to Christ and to his church. Then after that, the baptisms of Jesus, water, spirit, fire. We also, last Sunday, talked about the spiritual gifts. And notice that Jesus was gifted, for he was able to change the water into wine. And the scriptures encourage us to see our gifts and to offer them to God. And we recognize that all of us can't do everything equally well. That's true across the board, isn't it? Now today, We look once again at the gifts of the Spirit, but this time applied to the church. The gifts of the Spirit. Now you remember what they were from last week. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. All of these are gifts of the Spirit. And what's really neat, St. Paul in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting symmetry because there are nine gifts of the Spirit and there are nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, the latter part of the chapter. Here is how you identify the results of the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, here they are, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It fits gifts and then fruit of the Spirit. This is how we know if we are indeed following Christ or have put some other Lord and Master in our mindset, and we're following a false prophet. When we do not see the fruit of the Spirit come forth. Now, church is a wonderful place, but it also has a basic problem. It's made up of people. Can you believe that? So the body of Christ, which is the church, is made up of people. And there are all kinds of issues. Sometimes things go smoothly, sometimes things go, well, rather rough. And since we live in such a culture that loves to lift out when things aren't right without ever saying what we need to do to make it right, how many times does the church get beaten around the head and the ears and kicked in the tummy and stomped on our toes by the culture? And sometimes people just simply wonder, is it worth my time? And more people are just opting out of church. You know that. I know that. I've seen it in my nearly 50 years of tenure as a pastor. And what's going on? Well, there's a difference between the unchurched and the de-churched. The unchurched, they don't have a particular knowledge of the invitation to follow Christ and be a part of the body of Christ. These are the folks that most of America's made of. But there is a larger and larger number. These are the people who used to be very, very active in the church and now just simply shut down. We've talked about that in another context. Have you ever been so burned out that you just quit church? Anybody know anybody that way? I know some preachers that way. Just absolutely shut down. And what do you do when the person drops out of church and not mad at anybody, not mad at a preacher, not mad at, but just quit. I've had it up to here. More and more of our culture are made up of de-churched instead of unchurched. So this sets us out another kind of issue, which we as the church need to look at with all seriousness. What do we do? As is wont to do in our whole culture is we whine about it. We have been educated profoundly in the art of whining. Do you know what I mean? Sometime I want you to get your day timer out. That's what I carry in my coat pocket. And just every hour or so, jot down the issues that you've heard being whined about every hour, you and I will be so surprised. And usually we shift blame when we do the whining off on somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. Not my fault. Somebody else's. They did it. Caused me to be this way. It is amazing, isn't it? But we in the church are in a month, a time of really looking at what we're all about. We've made a covenant. We've noticed that part of who we are includes the baptisms of Christ, John the Baptist, and our own baptism. We've even talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that blessed Spirit which comes upon us, which changes us instantaneously, and we say, yes, God is in this place. And then we look and we see, how do we know that God is in this place? Because we're gifted. And also, when we exercise those gifts, we see the fruit of the Spirit. So Paul is dealing with issues at the Corinthian church and at the Galatian church. And he's saying, look, this is what it looks like. And we can apply that to ourselves. We have a great problem in doing something, and it's called witnessing. For us, in many of our mindsets, witnessing is coming and talking about perhaps something that happened in a self-centered way, and this is what Jesus did for me, which is wonderful. But I want to share with you another kind of witnessing, which is also very wonderful. And that is to witness to the Spirit of Jesus when we see that Spirit operative in people around us. When's the last time you told a fellow church member, I saw Jesus in what you did? Thank you for witnessing to Jesus in what you did. What I saw you, what you said, what you wrote down. We as a church can do much more of that if we put our heads to it. The other day I was looking on my Facebook page and all the messages that have been sent to me over the last several months, and some I've sent to others. There was one message, it happened around Christmas. Perhaps some of you saw it. And if you didn't, and if you have Messenger, I'll be glad to send it to you. It is precious. The setting is a city street. It's very, very busy. And so this gentleman walks by. There are two people besides the gentleman that walks by. There's a guy picking up trash. And there's a young woman waiting to go to work. And they're simply there. The guy comes right by and tosses down a piece of paper. The young woman and the trash collector, they look at the man and they look at the trash and they both reach for it. But the woman beats him in reaching for it. And so she takes out her pen and writes something on that piece of paper and then folds it and gives it to this man. Now he's going to put it in his trash bin. But curiosity as it is, he first opens it. He sees what the young woman has written, and he smiles. He doesn't throw it away, he keeps it. So he proceeds down the walk and sees somebody really struggling to get a bunch of boxes through a door. He holds the door, the man gets through the boxes, and so the trash collector puts that little piece of paper between some of his boxes. So the man struggles to get in all these boxes. He stacks them up and notices that little piece of paper. So he pulls it from between the boxes, opens it up, and he smiles. He puts the piece of paper in his pocket, and he goes home. Their home is zipping, zipping, zipping around. His wife is getting ready to go. And so what he does, he sees her purse, knowing that she's going to collect her purse, opens it up in a hurry because she's coming down the steps. He puts that piece of paper in there. She cannot miss it. Fixes the purse back. She grabs it, and she goes. Okay. She gets where she's going, and she sees the paper. She opens it up, sees what the first lady wrote, smiles, and closes it, puts it back in her purse. In the meantime, she goes out, and she's waiting to cross the street. There's an elderly lady there who cannot get across the traffic in any kind of timing. So she's sitting there waiting for a break in the traffic pulse, and she's having a hard time. She's frustrated. And so this young woman, this wife, who's just been given that paper by her husband, she walks out in the traffic, and she flags down this individual. He's got a big, pretty, modern car, and he steps on the brakes, and he has to say, as if to say, what's going on? So the lady comes on, goes back across the road, and so the lady with the paper walks up, beats on the window, and then hands this paper to that frustrated driver who has had to stop to let this lady across. And he opens it up and smiles. He goes on home. He sees his little son. This is Christmas time, so he's working on the star for the Christmas tree. So he goes on home. The little boy, his son, has torn the star, and he doesn't know what to do. So the dad gives the paper to the little boy. The little boy opens it up and smiles, and then fixes the star by integrating that paper that's been going all over the place. Fixes it up, and his dad helps him put the star on the cross. But this time, the camera's over the shoulder of the little boy, and he opens it. And what was on that paper that the first lady wrote to give to the trash man, she had penciled in a smiley face. So every time you opened it, there was a smile. And it made all the difference as the smile circulated through the different folks. Finally, the little boy smiles, fixes the star, and the video shuts down with Merry Christmas. Now, I know Christmas is only one time a year. Of course, we at Rockwood have Christmas in July, which is fine. But I want to claim we need to have Christmas every day, every moment. And part of our task is to find ways as members of the body of Christ to let Christmas happen in our hearts and in the hearts of people all around us. So now Jesus has been out in the wilderness. He's really been dragged through the temptations. He has passed them all because he has relied on the Word of God, just as you and I are to do. And so he comes into Galilee and goes to Nazareth, his hometown. It's his turn to read. Now, the procedure was they had a lectionary too back then. So the president of the synagogue gave Jesus the scroll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, whenever I read this passage from Isaiah, it just thrills me because I know that Jesus read that passage too. That specific one is what he read to the synagogue. And he talked about the Spirit of the Lord. He said it was upon him because he's anointed me to bring, and here's a checklist of what the church should be doing. churches, especially the Methodist church, tries to fit in to whatever the culture says. I never will forget how the culture was saying, you got to have a mission statement. What is your mission statement? And then the church had to meet together to have a mission statement session. I don't know if you all did at Rockwood or not, but every time that came up at Church Street, I would say, you got a mission statement. Why do you need to rewrite it? We do. Yeah, have a look at Luke 4. Oh. Here is the mission statement of the church. Because if the church is the body of Christ, and that's what we claim, and if Jesus says the Spirit is the Lord of the Lord's upon me, because, and then there's a list here, he's anointed me. We were anointed with the Spirit in our baptism. We become extensions of Jesus. That's right. Actually, properly said, the Christ. There's not but one Jesus. But you and I can be the Christ to others. Not Jesus Christ, but Dan Christ, or Tommy Christ, or Mary Ann Christ. You see what I'm saying? Christ means Messiah or Savior. How often it is that we've come through saving each other by doing the Christ thing. Who would have thought that that young woman, the first one in my story, who wrote two dots and a smile, could make that much difference on the 6 or 8 people that got that piece of paper and opened it up, and you could see a smile come across the face. That is an uplifted spirit. That is what we can witness to. That was a simple piece of paper. And last week I mentioned what a difference it is to work the smile treatment. Remember? He's anointed Jesus to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You've got your perfect mixture of poor who need good news preached. Poor. How many really poor people do you and I know? How often it is that we in the church deal with poor people when they come by and I meet them in the hall because I don't know them. And I'm just paranoid enough to suspect everybody I don't know. So I come and see them at the door. Many of them are so poor. But how often do I go to where the poor live? How often do you? I'll tell if you tell. Not very often. But yet that's what Jesus was sent to do. To proclaim release for the captives. What kind of captives? Also, to let the oppressed go free. So you've got oppression and captives. That's a double whammy on things that hold us down. Think about it. What captivates us? What holds us? Keeps us from moving? Is it ill health? Is it age? Is it bad relationship issues? Do we just get ground down just because we open our eyes of a morning and have to put on what we're wearing because we are simply alive? What about our jobs? Do they hold us down? Do they cause us grief? Whenever there is release in whatever will hold us down, there is the Spirit of Christ. And then, of course, your medical, to let those who are blind to see. But you can be blind in other ways, can't we? We can be blind to the truth of Jesus. Look right at it and not see it. So what do we do? There is plenty to do. We can certainly open our eyes and see. where the Spirit of Jesus is working right now. There's much the matter with our criminal justice system in this country, and there are many people who are saying, we have got to reform. They don't have a plan yet that I know of, but at least they're beginning to address the issue. That is part of the Spirit of Christ, to help correct some very serious issues in a criminal justice system. Can we find other things that need to be addressed? The inequity of wealth in this country, throughout the world, really. Do we realize that 1% of the world's population have as much wealth as 99% of the rest of the world? Do you get that? 1% of the world's population hold the same amount of wealth as the 99% left. Wow. Now, in my study of history, whether it be the French Revolution or other revolutions, that when you have such a great inequity of wealth, that is the seedbed of revolution. I don't care where you live, what your language is, or what your history is. Keep that in mind. Are there efforts to deal with the great disparity of wealth? That's what the Spirit of Jesus continually does. Now, Jesus said that is happening right now. It has been fulfilled in your hearing. He rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant. Now, next week, we're going to see what happened with the application of that sermon. Because Jesus was praised because of his wonderful words. Isn't this Joseph's boy? Actually, the son of God. But for all they knew, it was Joseph's boy. Next week, we continue that reading and we see how Jesus applied what the Spirit of the Lord told him he was to do and what happened to him after that. So we get our picture unfolding for us here in January of what we're about, of what the church means. So I present that and ask us all, every one of us, what do we think of the gifts of the Spirit? Can we identify them within ourselves, within other people? Can we mention that to them? I have seen the gift of Jesus in what you did. And then the fruit of the Spirit, which brings that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. That's how you know when you see people who are walking with Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have received blessings from the read and preached word, as well as the word of God sung. Let us continue our worship by giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord, for all of your blessings. You are so very generous. Accept now a portion of our money, your tithes and our offerings, as we return this money to you to further your work in this community and throughout the mission of the church. Amen. Our hymn is Christ for the World We Sing. And maybe those individuals who would like to come about the altar for prayer, others that have a special request, and still others perhaps who would like to join this fellowship of believers here at Rockwood. We'll sing Christ for the World We Sing. Thompson has a procedure at Fort Sanders, so let's keep her and Tommy, members of the family, and our church family in prayers as we remember you, Linda. All the very best, my dear. Keep us posted. Go forth in peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving, people of God. Go forth and use the practice of the early Christians, the witness of Jesus to the Holy Spirit, and also the testimony of Paul. Go forth, undergird the church and your faith by following the direction of Jesus and St. Paul. Go in peace.